Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, we present a praise service held during a special day of prayer on the university campus. The program will be introduced by Reverend Stephen Jones, Vice President for Administration at BJU.
The delights of his love until all on the altar we lay.
Trust this has been an encouraging day for you as we've met with the Lord and look forward to the results that the Lord gives both in the short term in answer to the prayers and in the long term. After a word of prayer, we'll hear testimonies from the following three students. Bethany Cole, who is a senior pre-med major, will give a testimony of answered prayer, followed by Kristen Alexander, who's a freshman majoring in church music. Then Mr. Coleman will come lead us in a song or two more, and then Tabitha Brown, who is a sophomore office administration major, will give a testimony of what the Lord has done, followed by Dr. Peter Davis, who is on the piano faculty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you have heard. We thank you that you bend your ear, you stoop to hear your children. Lord, we do not deserve that our prayers should come before you, but in Christ we come, giving you thanks for him, and for all that you have so freely given us in him. And Lord, for this privilege to cast our burdens on you and to leave them there, we thank you. We pray that you would give us grace to leave those requests and burdens of heart with you, that we would not take them back ourselves to fret or be anxious, but that we would rely and trust and watch you work, and we'll be careful to give you the glory. In Christ's name, amen.
The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hello, my name is Bethany Cole, and I'm a senior pre-med major from Indianapolis, Indiana, pursuing a future in medical missions. Concerning answer to prayer, Hudson Taylor once confided that if we are kept waiting, the spiritual blessing that is the outcome is far more precious than exemption from the trial. I'd like to share with you a little of how God has used the trial of affliction in my life of finances, more than anything else, to teach me about himself and his trustworthiness. During my sophomore year, I faced a difficult question. Would I be willing to go on a medical mission team to Kenya in the summer? I was solely responsible for paying my school bill, and so it didn't seem like a good idea. I thought, what? Come up with $3,000 extra dollars, plus lose all the money I would need to earn during the summer? But the more I prayed, the more I became convinced this was what God wanted me to do. I claimed Romans 4:20-21 as my own promise. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Of course, God provided funds for my mission trip. That in itself was a miracle, and the summer was wonderful. But the school year after my trip was when I really started to feel the financial pressure. My small savings drained quickly, leaving me in debt for the first semester and with no funds for the second. I knew I could return second semester and just continue to build up debt, but that the next school year, this, my senior year, would probably have to be postponed. I had no other resource than to turn to God, my Heavenly Father. I started to pray more earnestly, begging Him to do something special in my life, something unexpected, something that would show Himself strong. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." I knew that God had called me to Bob Jones. I knew that He had wanted me to spend the summer in Kenya, and I knew that ultimately He would provide. But I was totally unprepared for the way God answered this prayer. In January, a friend's grandparents were visiting from out of state. She introduced us while I was working at the library here on campus. Before then, they had been total strangers. The next day, I was walking to class when they stopped me on the road and told me that they wanted to talk about my financial situation. The next day when we met, my friend's grandpa was very straightforward. He said, "If you were not in debt at the end of the semester, would you come back?" I stopped for several seconds and tried to process what was going on. I said, "Well, yes." He said, "Good, then you're coming back." This dear couple has now provided over $4,000 for my school bill, and they continue to monitor my financial need. God often has to take every other means of support from us before He is willing to send an answer to prayer. However, I am totally convinced of both His capacity to meet needs and of His infinite love. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done.
My name is Kristen Alexander, and I'm a freshman here majoring in church music. I'm a missionary kid, and I have lived in Brazil for the last 14 years of my life. Because I am an MK, I have had the privilege of seeing the Lord answer many prayers and have seen Him change many lives. But this summer, I received one of the greatest answers to prayer of my life. Back home in Brazil, my siblings and I have many friends from our neighborhood, and two of these are Jackson and Bruno. A few months after we met, I finally convinced Jackson and Bruno to go home to church with my family and me one Sunday. They seemed to enjoy our church, and for almost 2 years, they went to youth group at our church every week with my brother and me. My family and I prayed for them faithfully during this time, expecting to see them saved soon, but that wasn't the case. For 3 long years, we prayed for them, witnessed to them, and took them to church, but neither of them showed any interest in making a salvation decision. After 3 long years, I am sorry to admit that I was just about ready to give up. So I finally began asking the Lord specifically that if it was His will, that He would have them both be saved before I left for college in the fall. A month before I left to come here, our church in Sorocaba had a special teen revival meeting of sorts, and Jackson was there that night. Our youth pastor gave a very clear presentation of the gospel, and several were saved, but Jackson was not among them. But I found out later that Jackson had been under conviction, but was too embarrassed to go forward. I was disappointed that he hadn't accepted Christ, but I was so excited that the Holy Spirit was finally working in his heart. I began praying even more earnestly for him and Bruno. And then it happened. The very next Saturday night at the youth activity, our youth pastor gave an invitation after the challenge, and someone went out to be saved. I started bawling, thinking it was Jackson, but it was Bruno. I couldn't believe what was happening. Yes, I knew the Lord could answer prayer in mighty ways, but this, I cannot even begin to describe to you the joy I felt as the tears streamed down my face. And after that night, Bruno was a different person. You could tell just by the radiant joy that seemed to be written all over his face. Then, just when I thought my cup of joy couldn't get any fuller, it overflowed. The very next night, Jackson and Bruno went to church with me and my family. The message was given, then the invitation, and nothing happened. But the Lord wasn't finished yet. The pastor asked the new converts who wanted to make a public profession of faith to come up to the front. When Bruno left his seat and walked to the front, publicly showing that he was not ashamed, Jackson left the building in tears. Our national pastor went after him and was able to lead Jackson to the Lord that night. Praise the Lord for His mercy and His faithfulness. The Lord specifically answered my prayers, even though it took 3 long years to see the fruit of my labors. But our God is a faithful God, and He promises in Isaiah 55 that His word will not return void, but will accomplish that which He pleases and prosper in the thing whereunto He sent it.
We'll stand to sing now, number 230. Praise Him, praise Him. 230.
name is Tabitha Brown, and I'm an office administration major from New Jersey. Over the past several years of my life, the Lord has carried me through some very trying times and has taught me how important it is to pray. When I was 3 months old, my pediatrician became alarmed when he realized that I was not as strong as I should have been at that age. My parents took me to see doctors all around the United States and in Germany, and every doctor had the same answer. They had never seen anything like my frail condition before, and they couldn't diagnose me. So at a very early age, I became accustomed to hearing that I would probably never be strong enough to walk, and even at that early age, I became very strong-willed. My parents also tried sharing the gospel with me at this time, but I rejected the idea that I was a sinner who needed to be saved. I thought that if I can prove I can walk, then I can prove I can get to heaven on my own. When I was 4 years old, I was finally able to walk for the first time with great difficulty, but I came to a point where I realized that I could never save myself. And 1 year later, I finally surrendered my life to Christ and accepted Him as my Savior. Growing up in a pastor's family, my brothers and sister and I were always encouraged to be active in our church and to set an example for those around us. Even though I was willing to serve God in this way, I always had the question in the back of my mind, why does God allow me to suffer so much physically? It didn't seem fair to me. But I kept my feelings to myself and worked hard to put up a good front. Then my senior year of high school, the doctors discovered that my spine had curved into an S shape and was beginning to crush my heart and my lungs. I was told that unless I had surgery immediately, I had only a year left to live. Their biggest concern for me going into the operation was that I would not be strong enough to ever recover completely, and they thought that I would very likely be on a respirator for the rest of my life. When word of my situation spread, hundreds of letters began pouring into our home, and each one expressed how they were praying that the Lord would give me enough strength to make it through the surgery. And God honored those prayers. On December 16, 1997, I had 2 steel rods applied to my spine. The surgery did not go without complications, though. Somehow, during my operation, I became completely paralyzed on the right side of my body, and a team of surgeons had to work for several long hours to help me regain mobility. This made my recovery much longer and very painful, but the Lord was so good through it all. Within 3 days, I was off of the respirator, and within a few weeks, I had regained all feeling. I praise the Lord for allowing me to go through this trial, because He used that time in my life to get a hold of my heart. He changed my attitude from being, why me, to why not me. The Lord took my testimony that year and used it to lead many people to Christ, and He gave me a peace about accepting His will for my life. Less than 8 months later, after this operation, God provided the way for me to enroll as a freshman here at Bob Jones University. Even though I still haven't been diagnosed, and I will continue to face more tests for my disability, the Lord will continue to be faithful in protecting me and in answering prayer. So on this day of prayer, I hope to encourage all of you to cast your burden on the Lord and trust that He will answer.
My name is Peter Davis, and I teach on the piano faculty here. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, saith the Lord." I believe that sometimes God, when He answers prayer, is not only meeting a need in our lives, but He's also working in a greater and higher way for some greater and higher purpose for His glory. That's certainly the way it was in the last 4 years in our family. It was about 4 years ago that we realized in our home that the Lord was calling us to get further training at the University of Oklahoma for me to get a doctorate in piano pedagogy. And there was a day when my wife and I were talking about the prospects, the financial needs we would have. And we said to ourselves, you know, this is impossible financially. And yet we knew that God, if He had called us to it, and we believed that He had, would make a way for us in the wilderness. And indeed He did. But we went on faith. And I desired of the Lord not only that He would meet our needs, but that He would do it in a way that my daughters would know that we had a Father in heaven, and that He was real, and that He would provide for us. Just before we moved out, the Lord provided a wonderful house sitting situation in Oklahoma through some people that we hardly even knew. It was bigger and better than anything we could have afforded to pay the rent for. The man said he would pay the utilities for us, and he even provided a yard crew. There were just a lot of wonderful things that he did for us. He said we could even use a car of his while we were there. And yet we still felt that we would have a lot of great financial needs. So we were going on faith. We had saved up a certain amount of money, but we knew that it would run out sooner or later. And we had forgotten that in Oklahoma they call themselves the Sooner State. And sure enough, sooner than we thought, our money ran out. Almost as early as we hit the Oklahoma border, we had car trouble a couple hours inside of Oklahoma. And then when we got there, we found out that the landlord's car that he said we could use died. Then the refrigerator that we were using died. In the meantime, back in Greenville, the person who had moved into our home and was supposed to be paying us rent was not paying her rent. We had a lot of financial needs. Then we had more car trouble, transmission trouble. We were looking at a lot of money for that. And we realized that in the first 6 months, God had literally taken our savings account. And I don't know what I expected. I asked God to meet our needs and to provide for us in a wonderful way. And yet when the Lord took that money away, it was hard. But we had to say, Lord, it's okay. We know you're good. And it was then that the blessings began to flow. And they never stopped for 2 years. The Lord provided through people in our church, through people back here in Greenville, through people that we didn't even know. I got scholarships, and the money just continued to come. We were never rich, but we were never poor. And it seemed really like God was providing not just water out of the rock, but God was providing honey out of the rock for us. There were a couple of times while we were there that the money had run out, and it looked like I was going to have to get a newspaper route. 4 o'clock in the morning. And believe me, when you're already dog tired from schoolwork, the idea of getting up and pitching newspapers at that hour is not very appealing. But I had to be willing. I think the Lord was bringing me to that point. And so when I would contact the newspaper company, 2 times, almost immediately, the Lord brought in money from an unexpected source. And the third time that that happened, I began talking in my home. I think I'm going to have to go see the newspaper company again. Finally, my daughter said, Dad, I don't think you're going to have to get a newspaper route. And that was an answer to prayer that the Lord had shown my daughters. They had seen God provide so many times that they knew we had a Father in heaven. And that realization that my daughters were recognizing that was the greatest blessing of all to me. That was worth $1 million. So God worked in His own greater and higher way. And at one point, there was a week when my unsaved parents were staying with us in Oklahoma. And I had to take the car into the shop one morning. I came home and I announced that we had a $100 car bill to pay. And in the mail that morning came $100 from one of you back here in Greenville. And my unsaved parents saw that and they knew that we had a God who was providing for us. The Lord worked in His own greater and higher way. And so the whole experience was really a 2-year illustration of Matthew 6:33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. On today's program, you heard a special praise service held during a special day of prayer held on the university campus. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's program, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Please ask for the praise service and mention today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.